She holds a Master's of Science in Population and Public Health from the University of Calgary, and a BA, a Bachelor's of Arts from Reed in Chemistry from Reed College. Anne?
Thank you very much. It's a real honor to be here today to speak with everyone. And as Bill mentioned, I am a PhD student currently, but what I'm going to be speaking about today is actually part of my master's dissertation. And like some of the other researchers who you'll hear from today, one of the things that we're very interested in terms of the benefits of animal-human interaction, and particularly dogs, is that these extend beyond just the owner-physical activity relationship, and there's a lot more going on there. So what I'm going to present today is a look at some of those other potentials and looking at both the community and the individual level. So again, just trying to really start to broaden our understanding. And so my paper is Dog Walking and Sense of Community in Neighborhoods and the Implications for Promoting Regular Physical Activity in Older Adults. So again, yes? Oh, okay. Sorry. So again, this idea that we are faced with an aging population and looking at aging in place and the importance of maintaining physical activity and social inclusion. Just a quick nod to my co-authors, Drs. Gavin McCormack, Cindy Adams, Patricia Doyle-Baker, and Melanie Rock, all of the University of Calgary and representing faculties of medicine, kinesiology, and veterinary medicine. And my disclosure, I have no personal financial relationships to disclose. And a quick overview, I'll give you an introduction to the research project, talk about the methods, the results, and the implications. So by means of introduction, as I mentioned, we really need to look for effective health promotion strategies that really attend to the health of an aging population. And so we're bringing together three different sort of ideas in the design of this particular study. We're looking at the idea that neighborhood-based walking may offer both physical activity and access to social capital, which both are very much linked with healthy aging. Drawing in on the dog topic, dog walking often occurs in public space in urban neighborhoods. And finally, very few studies have considered how dogs influence both dog owners and non-owners, and part of that is through sharing public space. And so really, there were two overall objectives. One is really to deepen our understanding of healthy aging in urban environments. And finally, we want to contribute to this case that it is important to consider the dog's impacts on neighborhoods as having this potential. And so the specific objectives of our study were to examine associations between dog ownership, various neighborhood characteristics, which I'll describe in the next couple of slides. We looked at neighborhood-based recreational walking and sense of community. And also, we were curious to examine whether or not sense of community in and of itself mediated associations between dog ownership, neighborhood characteristics, and neighborhood-based walking, and specifically looking at a sample of older adults. Now, why sense of community? What this slide demonstrates is a number of the components of sense of community that have been identified in the literature, things like pedestrianism, social interaction, sense of safety, and all of these, they have a little dog icon next to them because ostensibly all of these can have some sort of relationship with either being a dog walker or living in a neighborhood where there are dog walkers sharing the space. And thus, a sense of community made a lot of sense to examine as a mediator, and so we did this. In terms of the theoretical model that we explored, as I mentioned, we looked at a sample of older adults, and we decided to extend this. Often you see 60 or 65. We included 50. We went down to 50 for a couple of reasons. Probably the most important is because there's more and more evidence that your level of activity mid-age is very predictive of what you'll be doing as you age. In terms of the dog owner slash walker, we actually created this variable. The survey that our respondents answered, they were both asked if they were a dog owner, and then they were asked the typical amount of walking they did each week. And so we decided to dichotomize at 4 days per week or more is what we consider to be a frequent dog owner slash dog walker, because that's the majority of days of the week. And then we use 3 and fewer to be what we would consider infrequent dog walkers. We looked at neighborhood characteristics, both built and social, things like we looked at what we call the neighborhood layout, and this was, we used this as a proxy for walkability, so whether it was a grid-style neighborhood, curvilinear neighborhood, or a sort of semi-grid-style neighborhood. We looked at the percentage of green space, we looked at population density, and we looked at some the specific social factors we looked at were things like neighborhood education level, neighborhood income, and then we also included a fairly novel measure, which was the density of dogs within the neighborhood, and that was based on licensing data. In terms of our mediator, so sense of community, I'll just quickly mention that we used a sort of an adapted version of Nassar and Julian's 15 component sense of community scale, really minor adaptations, things like instead of asking about this neighborhood, the components asked about my neighborhood, and we did a test-retest reliability testing on this modified scale and found that the reliability was moderate to good, so we felt good about using this. And finally, for the outcome, we specifically used neighborhood-based recreational walking. Now, we realize that some of the respondents probably do other forms of physical activity, but for this particular study, again, thinking about aging and thinking about the importance of walking in particular, the idea that there may be less and less walking for transport. And then we also looked at two levels of recreational walking, 90 minutes per week and 150 minutes per week. I think most people are familiar with the 150 minute per week cut point as the basic public health recommendation. But there also is evidence that 90 minutes per week may help support cognitive health. So eventually, perhaps there may be enough evidence to really rethink some of these recommendations and to at least acknowledge that a certain level can also have health benefits. The methods that we used cross-sectional survey data. There was a random telephone survey of adults living in Calgary who are 18 years and older. All of those adults, the telephone survey collected information on basic demographics and some physical activity information. And then anyone who participated was given the option to do a follow-up postal survey, which is where we got into the dog walking, dog ownership, sense of community types of questions, and a little bit more about physical activity. So we analyzed a subsample of 884 older adults who had completed the postal survey and whose data was robust to use. We did a comparative analysis of the characteristics of our dog owners who were frequent dog walkers, infrequent dog walkers, and non-owners, and we did that using Pearson's chi-square tests for categorical variables, and if we did find any significant differences, we went in and did some pairwise testing. In terms of our modeling, we used binary logistic regression models of the associations, and we found no clustering in our data, and we essentially found that there was more variation within our geographic communities of the respondents than between them, so we stuck with the binary logistic regression without going into a multi-level modeling. And finally, we tested for mediation by sense of community, specifically using the Barron and Kenny methodology, so looking really for any attenuation of associations as evidence that there may be a temporal relationship between things like the physical characteristics of the neighborhood and the neighborhood-based walking. So I will highlight just a couple of our results. So this first slide is looking at our comparative analysis, and as you would expect, frequent dog walkers, in all measures, they reported more physical activity, and they were there were significant differences between frequent dog walkers and both other groups. Interestingly, they also were more likely to report a high sense of community, and I'll just mention we dichotomized sense of community around the median score. So again, the frequent dog walkers were more likely to report high sense of community, although the statistical difference didn't hold between frequent and infrequent dog walkers. I think our sample just wasn't quite big enough for this level of analysis. And again, as you'd expect from the literature, we found that non-owners tended to be older, so the dog owners were in our younger group of seniors. And again, we dichotomized at 65 years. And again, the non-owners also tended to have lower gross household incomes. And we didn't find any significant differences among these categories for our neighborhood level characteristics, whether social or physical. And looking at the results of our statistical models, again, all of these models, were adjusted for self-reported health, tenure in the neighborhood, age, gender, marital status, annual gross household income, education, and also the season that the survey was completed. And this is where we really saw this nice significant association between being an owner who was also a frequent dog walker and sense of community, where we found that they had almost twice the odds of reporting neighborhood-based walking, or sorry, reporting a higher sense of community. And similarly, we found this for both 90 minutes and 150 minutes per week of neighborhood-based recreational walking. And again, really quite high odds ratios, so 8 times as likely to be reporting 90 minutes a week and 10 times as likely to be reporting 150 minutes per week. And really, I guess the other thing I'd like to highlight in this is that an interesting finding for us was that living in a warped grid street layout was associated with 150 minutes per week of neighborhood-based recreational walking for these older adults. And that finding is a little bit unusual because we tend to expect that people living in grid neighborhoods, which are considered the most walkable, are going to be achieving the most physical activity. So again, thinking, well, these are older adults and it's specifically walking for recreation, and some of the characteristics of warped grid street layouts are things like there is less traffic, and even though there may be less connectivity, there may be a sense that there's more of a buffer from both vehicular traffic and also even at times pedestrian traffic, so it's kind of a sense of security and safety. And we did not find any evidence that sense of community mediated the associations between dog walking and any of our neighborhood characteristics in terms of achieving these different levels of neighborhood-based recreational walking. And so really, in summary, compared to non-owners, we found that dog owners who are 50 years and older and who are frequent dog walkers are twice as likely to have a high sense of community. They're over 8 times as likely to achieve 90 minutes per week of recreational walking, and over 10 times as likely to achieve 150 minutes per week of neighborhood-based walking. And we didn't find any differences between our infrequent dog walkers and our non-dog owners. So again, I think these are quite interesting findings as we start thinking about what is the lived experience of older adults who are aging in their communities, and how can dog walking, both at an individual and more looking at the kind of social environment level, help support this these important health behaviors. And I'd just like to speak for a minute about the implications for interventions, because obviously when we do a study like this, we want to think about what how it can assist with trying to increase levels of activity and really trying to hone our neighborhoods to support the increasing aging population. And one of the most important things, I'm going to step back a little bit because I haven't talked about this, is we don't often hear about the policy around dog control and the use of public space, because policy is incredibly important. I'm going to highlight the other half of my thesis involved a scoping review, which I uploaded as a handout if anyone's interested, a summary of our scoping review, which was published in the International Journal of Behavioral Nutrition and Physical Activity. And it was titled, Can Dogs Influence Physical Activity Levels of Dog Owners and Non-Owners? And there was a very nice summary done by the Canadian Fitness and Lifestyle Research Institute and Participaction, because what we find is there are so many potential benefits for people who do own dogs, but there's also the other side, and there can be some really important benefits in terms of walking in neighborhoods and having social interactions and getting to know your neighbors, and there's a couple of nice studies about that. But there are also things like certain people won't frequent parks where people aren't picking up after their dogs, or perhaps there's a problem dog on the block who is left to its own devices, and so someone perhaps won't walk in that neighborhood because they're worried about their children or themselves being attacked by this dog, or at least barked at. So policy around dog control and the use of public space is incredibly important, and thinking about how is that policy communicated, implemented, is there signage, are there supports for things like, I notice, I'm, as you know, from Canada, but I notice a lot of the different American public spaces that I've visited have really good dog bag programs and pretty good signage, but these are very specific places, and we find that it's the more disadvantaged communities where, first of all, people are more sensitive to some of these potential downfalls and ways that can prevent physical activity, and also those are the communities that are often underserviced in terms of having places to walk dogs. So thinking about it's generally municipal level policy, especially within urban neighborhoods. As Jackie had covered, really leveraging dogs' roles in motivating owners and non-owners to walk. So whether it's through, as this picture nicely demonstrates, whether it's through having a neighbor or a friend or a family member who has a dog who especially older adults can link in with, it's good in terms of both this idea of social inclusion and feeling like you're part of the community, and also, of course, getting them out walking and perhaps even building up their own sense of familiarity, safety, security in places where they can go and walk. And finally, really considering the neighborhood environments in terms of shared outdoor spaces and outdoor spaces that address aging adults' needs. So some of that goes a little bit beyond the dog walking, but having things like benches and having destinations that are aesthetic and interesting. And I guess part of what we feel is really important to think about here is that the ways that dogs work in environments tend to have impact on the social qualities. When we think about neighborhoods, we can think about intervening with the physical infrastructure, but this is extremely costly and often next to impossible. Every now and then there are opportunities to really build sidewalks or change parks. So really thinking about the social qualities of neighborhoods and what we can do there in sustainable ways to create spaces where people can share public space, whether it's dog owners. And again, I can't underestimate the importance of dog ownership for those older adults who choose to have dogs, are able to have dogs, have the mobility to walk their dogs. There are some really nice studies from, for instance, Knight and Edwards are some researchers, and you're going to hear from Dr. Johnson, who also, there have been some studies of older adults, and dogs do get older adults out when they're feeling ill or depressed. They get them walking and they get them out into the neighborhood. So there are some really wonderful things that can happen. Thorpe is another researcher who looked at really found good evidence about how dog ownership enables older adults to maintain the 150 minutes per week of physical activity over, I think their study looked over 3 years. So again, there are some really good things that are happening, but we also have to remember that these are public spaces and we need to do our best to really support everyone's needs in the best ways that we possibly can. And I'd just like to acknowledge our funders. And I realize we're going to save our questions till later, so thank you very much.